I would invite you to turn, please, over to the book of Proverbs, chapter 3. Proverbs, chapter 3. I'd like to read verse 9 and verse 10. Proverbs, chapter 3, verse 9 and verse 10. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Now, at first glance, you might conclude that my message will be one consumed with the subject of money. Now, that would be a wrong conclusion. I will, of course, address the matter, for it is indeed the content of the text. But there is a point to be made which emanates from these verses. In fact, it is the pinnacle of the text. It is the first three words of our passage. Honor the Lord. Now, I intend to define the word honor as found in our text and how it applies to you and me. I will do so by giving you a definition, followed by a declaration that God should be honored, after which I will look into our text and then ask how might we honor God. It is my objective to speak to you about honoring God. And before I do, I want to share something with you that I heard many years ago from one of my teachers. Dr. Gray Allison used to say, listen to this, remember who you are and whose you are. I want to talk to you today a message which I have entitled, Honor God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the day and the privilege of being in your house and for those who are able to be with us. And Lord, we just ask that you would set our hearts apart from the thoughts and the cares of the world, that we might dwell upon you and you alone and honor you, worship you, and praise you. And we pray for those who could not be with us due to sickness, providential hindrance, and some are traveling. Lord, we ask you watch over them. And Lord, we just commit this time to you today. We love you. And Lord, we pray that your will be done in every heart. We pray especially for the lost that, Lord, today they might be saved and that they would then be your child. And so we commit these things to you today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Honor God. Now what we find in our text, in verse 9, it says, honor the Lord with thy substance. Honor. I want to give you a definition of the word honor here. The Hebrew term honor comes from a primitive root word which means to be heavy or weighty. And it has two aspects to it. It has a positive aspect and it has a negative aspect. Of course, we're concerned about the positive aspect within this text, and context would always bear out which it should be. This is a positive sense, and so in the good sense, this word means to be rich. It means to be honorable. And so therefore, you'll see the word translated as honor or honorable, to be noble even, and some places even to be rich. And what I gather from this definition of the Hebrew word is that the sense is the object, is precious or of high value, thus deserves honor, esteemed worthy, and requires suitable response. Does that make sense to you? I trust that it does, that you would see something of great value. I'll tell you, if you're going to pack up and move to another town and you have to pack up all your stuff and you're in the kitchen and you know what? You pull out this old plastic cup that you saved from 7-Eleven, you know? And, that's not worth much. You're just going to pitch that thing. You probably wouldn't even wrap it up in newspaper. You just toss it in. If you go to your living room and you open up your case and there's a third dynasty Ming vase in there. Well, you're going to treat that a lot different, aren't you, than you would that plastic cup from 7-Eleven. You know why? Because you see there's great value to the Ming vase. It's very precious. That's the idea behind this word. So you have some honor to it, and you take care of it, and you have suitable response. Now, I also would like to express that the New Testament application of this word, and how I'm going to do that is this term in the Hebrew is used in other places, of course, throughout the Old Testament scriptures. But the places that I want to remind you of, one is in Exodus chapter 20 and in verse 12, and it's going to be repeated in Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 16. And I've chosen these verses because of the content of the text, plus it uses the exact same word. And in those verses, what we're going to find is that children are to honor their father and their mother. And so Exodus chapter 20, verse 12 says, honor, this is part of the Ten Commandments, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The word honor, same word that we have in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9. Now, when you apply it to this text about honoring your father and your mother, what would the sense of this be? The sense here is to see the position and the value of your parents and respond accordingly. Isn't that what it would be to honor your father and your mother? See their position and respond accordingly. There'd be a showing of reverence and respect and obedience. That's the idea. But do you know that the New Testament makes reference to this commandment on several occasions? And Matthew chapter 15, Matthew chapter 19, Mark chapter 7, Mark chapter 10, Luke chapter 18, all these places will refer to this passage that I just mentioned in Exodus chapter 20 or the Deuteronomy 5 quote. But it's making reference to what the Scripture says, how that we ought to honor our father and our mother. Now, the Greek word that's used in all of those places would then be the Greek equivalent to the Hebrew term. So the word honor in the Greek means, and think of how close this is to the Hebrew definition. It means to estimate in respect of worth, to hold in estimation. It is to respect, honor, it is reverence. It comes from a main Greek word, Greek root word, which means a pricing or estimate of worth, value. That's kind of what I gave you in the illustration about that Ming vase. You know what it's worth, and so you pay special attention to that. And so you have a Hebrew word which gives those very senses, which we applied, and then you have the New Testament application, which gives the very same idea. Do you have the definition of honor in your mind? Well, Webster, in his 10th edition, defines honor this way. Now, of course, the verb sense is to honor, is to regard or to treat with honor or respect. And we're to honor the Lord, and so that's what we want to do. That's the verb sense of it. But what is honor? It's a person of superior standing, one whose worth brings respect or fame. A synonym which Webster lists is homage, reverence, deference. It is the respect and esteem shown another. So if we may take the New Testament application of the Old Testament command, honor your father and your mother. You understand that, don't you? If we're to honor the rules of the road, you understand that. If you're to honor your teacher or honor someone at a banquet, you understand all those things. And what we find in the passage simply is, honor the Lord. And that is my intent today. Secondly, then, not only do I want to define the word honor, but I submit unto you that God should be honored. Let me share some verses with you. I'll ask you to turn to a couple of them. As a matter of fact, you can save a little bit of time by turning to John chapter 5. As I give you some reasons why we should honor God. Now, the Scripture tells us that we are to sing, as is found in Psalm 66, verse 1 and 2. Listen, make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. Sing forth the honor of His name. Make His praise glorious. You know, we ought to, all creatures ought to sing of God's honor. Over in the book of Revelation in chapter 4, the four beasts give honor to God. And so do the four, the 24 elders. And you can find that in verse 9 and verse 11. And what do they state? I quote, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power." God should be honored. So don't look at Proverbs 3, 9 and say, well, it says honor the Lord, but I won't really need to pay any attention to that. Scriptures bear out that God should be honored. Again, in the book of Revelation in chapter 5, the angels, the four beasts, the 24 elders, and millions of voices, and every creature cries out worthy to God, and how that they ought to give God glory and honor. How we ought to honor God. Again, in Revelation in chapter 7, the beasts and the elders worship God, saying, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And then in Revelation chapter 19 and verse 1, the voice of much people states that honor belongs unto the Lord our God. Now, have you turned to John chapter 5? I hope that you're there. I just simply submit unto you that God should be honored. And when we look at John chapter 5, I'm going to direct your attention to two verses, verse 22 and verse 23. What we will find here is that God's will is that the Son should be honored, yes, even as the Father. John chapter 5, verse 22, look what it says. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father, which hath sent him. You see that? Very clear. We ought to honor Jesus Christ. We honor the Son as we honor the Father. Go back to 1 Samuel chapter 2. This is the other reference I wanted to give to you for you to look at. 1 Samuel chapter 2. As you turn back unto there, I want to make it very, very clear that what we just read in John chapter 5 declares for us how that God ought to be honored, and of course His Son ought to be honored. I know a fellow who believes in God and believes that he's a Christian, but he rejects Jesus Christ. That's an impossibility, my friend. If you do not honor the Son, you do not honor the Father. You must honor the Son. We ought to honor Jesus Christ. We need to honor God. Now, back in 1 Samuel chapter 2, if you'd read the context there, and this is my last reference I want to give to you, that the fact that God should be honored. But what you will read in that passage in 1 Samuel chapter 2 is how that there's a discussion concerning the life of the priest Eli and his handling of his errant sons. Very succinctly, his sons were not doing what they ought to do. They were abusing the offerings of God, and Eli didn't handle it very well. And 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30 gives a very clear statement. Look at what it says. Wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, be it far from me. God had promised that they would serve in the priesthood, but now he says, I'm going to take that away. Listen, for them that honor me, I will honor. They that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. By the way, same Hebrew word. You think it's a good idea to honor God? We're told in our text in Proverbs chapter 3, and go back to our text. But them that honor me, I will honor. Them that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. You know, that may be considered as an axiom. I think it's still true today, don't you? Them that honor me, I will honor. Those that despise me will be lightly esteemed. Still true. God should be honored. My third point in the passage is to come back to our text and to look at the lessons from the text. So back into Proverbs chapter 3, where we found at the beginning, honor the Lord. What do we see in verse 9 and verse 10? Well, what we see in these two verses, I want you to notice that there are two thoughts within our text itself. One is in verse 9 where we have the mandate, and one is in verse 10 where we have the reward. Here's the mandate, verse 9. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruit of all thine increase. That's the command. That's the mandate, the directive. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, verse 10 says, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. That's the reward, the mandate and the reward. Let's consider the directive for just a moment. Go back to verse 9. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. Now remember, we're to honor God. How may we do it? Well, one way to do it is listed right here in our passage. First of all, I'm going to go backward through the verse. In verse 9, the last part of the verse, honor God with what you give. Because it says, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. And what that is, the first fruits was a tenth, and the children of Israel were commanded of God to bear the first fruits of all the harvest. And whether it be a wheat harvest or a barley harvest, or if the figs falling off the tree, or the production of their cattle, it didn't matter what it was. You know what? They honored God with all of their increase by giving a tenth. But when it comes to the harvest, it's called the first fruits. They would go and gather the first part of the harvest, and that would be an indicator of the entire harvest, and they would give that to God as an offering, the first fruits. And what this is honor God with what you give. With what you give. Then you'll notice, if you back up the beginning of the verse, and some might say, well, this is just a restatement, and then the last part is a restatement of the first and so forth. I think it's a little bit more than that, because he says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. And so what I read this as, well, yeah, the last part of the verse says we honor God with what we give, but then I think we have to honor God with what we have left. I think that's a proper application. Therefore, what we find when you think about honoring God with what you've been increased with what you have left, and with what you give, there are some things that come out of that. One is, God's value always surpasses earthly riches. I've talked to people who told me that's why I can't afford to tithe. I'll tell you the truth, you can't afford not to tithe. Isn't God more valuable than any earthly riches? You say, well, I've got gold and silver and all that kind of thing, and I've got houses and lands and all that, and my tithe is so much more than you, in fact, my tithe is more than you make all year and all that kind of thing. You know, people with that kind of attitude think that God's not worthy. But what we find in the text, honor the Lord with your substance and the first fruits of all your increase, what we find is God's value surpasses the earthly riches. Remember the word honor? That's weighty. It's valuable. Then I submit unto you that God deserves the first fruits. Some people say, well, I'll just bless God by giving it to him. You know, he deserves that. God's given it to you. You ought to give back to him. God deserves the first fruits. And then we also need to understand that God is honored by our gifts. Didn't he say in the text, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits? So you know when you give to God, and how you use what you have. You know, when you give to God, that honors him. Now we're told to honor God. And then, of course, that which remains in our control is still to be used for God's honor. In other words, you say, well, I give my first fruits to the Lord. I give my tithe, and the other 90% is all mine, and I do with it what I want. But that doesn't give you the right to run down a tunic, and that doesn't give you the right to go out and use it on women, wine, and song. It doesn't give you the right to just waste it and squander it, gamble it away, do whatever. You know what? You still have that 90%. You're still accountable before God for that. Honor the Lord with your substance, but you know what? Yeah, you can use your first fruits. That's good, but you still are responsible for the rest of it. Let me share with you a few of the statements from the commentators. I just have two brief quotes, and we'll finish out the passage. Listen, if you will, concerning verse 9, and I quote, honor the Lord with thy substance. It is the end of our creation and redemption to honor God, to be to him for a name and a praise. We are no other way capable of serving him than in his honor. His honor we must show forth, and the honor we have for him. We must honor him, not only with our bodies and spirits, which are his, but with our estates too, for they are his also. Worldly wealth is but poor substance, yet such as it is, we must honor God with it. And then, if ever it becomes substantial, we must honor God with our increase. Where riches increase, we are tempted to honor ourselves and to set our hearts upon the world. But the more God gives us, the more we should study to honor him. God, who is the first and best, must have the first and the best of everything. His right is prior to all others, and therefore he must be served first. I think that's true, don't you? And one other quote, a man's substance are his wealth and riches, which, in comparison of heavenly things, indeed have no substance in them. Yet these are worldly substance and of account. And as with these God has honored men, they should honor him with them again. And then he says, by giving to the poor, especially to the poor saints. Verse 9 is the directive. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. Notice the reward. Consider the recompense. Verse 10. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Do you see that very clearly? What we see in the text is that God will bless with a bountiful harvest. You give to me, you do what you ought to, you honor me with that, I will bless you with a bountiful harvest. Now you'll also notice that you will have all the food and drink that you need, and more. Do we see that in the text? It says they'll be filled, the barns will be filled, and the vats will be bursting forth. So it's more than what they need. God provided everything, the simple necessities of life, food and drink, and you'll have extra. Let me also submit unto you before we pass on that it is assumed that the directive applies to the bounty as well. For that too is increase. You know, some people get the idea, well, I give to God and then God bless me, and since that's a blessing of God, that's my reward. I don't have to give to that because that's God's reward to me. It's all mine. That's not true. Give of your increase. Honor God with your substance, all of it, with all your increase. And so if God, you say, well, God rewarded me with filled barns and vats full of wine, then you need to give off of that too. And God will be blessed. God will bless you because you honor Him. Therefore, we find four things, and I'm going to then go to the last point. God is honored when He bestows blessings on men. Do you realize that? When God gives to you, God's honored. Number two, God is honored when men render back to God. That's what we read in our passage. Give to Him. Honor the Lord with it. So God is honored when you do that. Number three, God is honored when men utilize the remaining in an honorable way. So as you give to God, you honor God. How you use what you have left, that can also honor God if you'll use it in a proper fashion. But then number four, in a negative aspect, to withhold your first fruits or to use your possessions in a disparaging way is to dishonor God. So you say, well, I'm not going to tithe, I'm not going to give. Then you're going to dishonor God. You say, well, I tithe, but I'm going to just use the remaining of my money however I want. It's not going to be for God's honor and for God's glory. Then you're going to dishonor God. Don't you understand what we find in the text is that all we are and who we are, all that we have, is to be used to honor God. And we're told in the text to honor the Lord. Now you might ask, and I want to submit unto you, how might we honor God? How will I deal with this? Well, we want to glean from our text, for one, because that's where we find the information for us. Here it is. Number one, God is of high value and deserves our offerings. Thus, we'll recognize His supremacy and worth. Honor the Lord. Number two, God is honored even through our humble gifts. I mean, really, what can we add to God? What can we really do to Him? So we give to Him. What is that? You know what? But God's honored. And what this is a proper response shows God such honor. What do we learn from our text? Those two simple things. Recognize His supremacy of worth, and that proper response will show God the honor that He desires. Now, we also made reference to those Old Testament commandments recorded in those two places of the Ten Commandments, and mentioned in the New Testament, what does it mean to honor your father and mother? We're talking about honoring God. How might we honor God? What we learn from our text, we can learn from this idea of honoring your father and your mother. If parents are of high value and deserve respect, therefore we should recognize their authority and worth, how much more should we God? Parents are to be honored when children are honored when children obey. Therefore, we see that proper response shows that you honor them. Isn't that true for God? Shouldn't we see that since we are to honor God, that we are to recognize His authority, recognize His worth, and that as we respond to Him properly, we will honor Him? And so this means that a similar disposition and a similar response toward God gives Him the honor He desires. So we take both of those texts, but let me quickly give you an extended application. Giving honor to God would be consistent with a profession. If you make a profession of faith in Jesus Christ, wouldn't it be consistent for you to give honor to God? Can you imagine being a Christian and not giving honor to God? That doesn't make a lot of sense, does it? It's just consistent. And so if I name the name of Jesus Christ, if I profess that God has saved me and given me eternal life, it ought to be in my interest to honor God. Secondly, I would submit unto you that giving honor to God would be in comparison to the Lord. What do I mean by that? 1 John chapter 2, verse 6 says, "He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked." You know, the best way I can honor God is to walk as he walked. It's to live a comparative life. In other words, what he has done, that's what I want to do as he directs. I want to be as God is. That honors him. What do they say? Imitation is the sincerest form of a form of flattery, right? If you imitate, why do you do that? Why do you act like that actress or actor? Why do you act like that sports figure? Well, when you imitate them, you are honoring them. I'll tell you, we can do no better honor than to honor God by living like God desires for us to live. So I submit that giving honor to God is consistent with the profession, is in comparison with the Lord, and that also giving honor to God would be in compliance to the Lord. We should be obedient. If I'm going to honor my father and my mother by being obedient to them, if I'm going to honor God, I ought to be obedient to Him. And so those things are true, is it not? And what's that going to involve? You say, well, your text talks about money, but it's much more than money. Doesn't it involve our speech? Doesn't it involve our thoughts, our actions, our motives, our goals, our objectives? Everything in our life ought to be revolving around honoring God. Now, I know we fail in that. We're people. We're going to put ourselves first, but you know what? We ought to honor God. And that's even true when it comes to the matter of glory and praise. That is, no self-credit. Some people take all the credit for themselves. They take credit for, look at what I've done. I'm a self-made man. I've done this. I've done that. If you've done anything for the Lord, if you've given to Him of your first fruits, if you have honored Him with your substance, do you take the credit? Do you take the honor? Do you take the glory? Or should you give all that glory to God? All that we are and who we are and how we exist belongs to God. The beginning of the text said, honor the Lord. We have a song like that in our songbook. And the words read like this. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of Thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for Thee. And then there's the repeat. Take my voice and let me sing always only for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages from Thee. Then the repeat. Take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold. Take my intellect and use every power as Thou shalt choose. Then the repeat. Thy will, or take my will and make it Thine. It shall be no longer my, make it Thine, it shall no longer be mine. Take my heart, it's Thine own, it shall be Thy royal throne. I submit unto you that song conveys the essence of honoring God. Every aspect is what should be used to honor God. So in conclusion, we find an admonition to honor God. That's what we see in the text. Honor the Lord. Secondly, I submit unto you this goes much further than finances. If all you get out of this is, boy, the preacher is preaching on money, then that's, you've missed the mark. Money's part of it. You can honor God with your first fruits and with your substance. But I'll tell you, it's much more than that. It's as that song says, with my life and my lips and my hands and my feet, my voice, my silver, my gold, my will. God, whatever I am, I want to honor You. That's where it is, isn't it? And so I submit unto you that we who name the name of Jesus Christ ought to make it our business to give honor to God. Whether it's with our money or with our time or with our talents, let's give honor to God. Do you know our doctrinal statement reads this under the subject of God? God, and then here's what we believe. We believe in the one and only true God, an infinite, intelligent Spirit, the Maker and Supreme Ruler of heaven and earth, inexpressibly glorious in holiness and, listen, worthy of all possible honor, confidence, and love. That's part of our doctrinal statement for our church, that we believe that God is worthy of all possible honor. And that's all I'm submitting to you from our passage today. Honor the Lord. Honor God. So today you might be here and you're lost as a sinner. You may be asking, I'm not even a Christian. How can I honor God? Do you know the way you can honor God? You can honor Him by bowing in humble obedience and submission to Him, by repenting of your sin and calling upon the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way you can honor God. Outside of that, there is no possible way to honor God because you're an enemy. But if you bow in submission, call upon Jesus to save you, you'll honor God. And as a Christian, recognize your sovereign Lord and Savior, note His worth, and give the honor due unto Him. I've spoken to you today about honoring God. I leave you with Dr. Allison's words once more. Remember who you are and whose you are. And if we do, we'll honor God. Sinner, would you be saved today? Christian, would you make it your business to honor the Lord with every aspect of your being? I pray that you will. Let's stand. Brother Paul, would you please come? I appreciate your patience. I appreciate your kind attention. And I pray that God has spoken to your heart and encouraged you. And sinner, we point you to Jesus, the mighty to save. All that we would honor God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for this opportunity to share your word. And I pray that you have been honored to get today. And I pray that you would just work this message in every one of our hearts, that Lord, we understand we're just but dust and ashes. We're a frail creature, but Lord, by your grace, we can serve you, and by your grace, we can be faithful. We can honor you with all of our being. And so we pray that you would direct us and fill us with your Spirit and guide us. We pray for the sinner that they might be saved. And Father, we ask that you bless our church, that we as a congregation would give you the honor and the glory. We commit this time to you today. We love you. May your will be done. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. No, what number, Brother Paul?